From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Karen Anderson, filling in for Mitch Wortlieb. It's Monday, December 16th, and here are today's headlines. A winter tradition going back decades started over the weekend, the Christmas bird count. It's when people go out in a designated circle with a 15-mile radius and count every bird they see or hear. That data is sent to the National Audubon Society, which tracks long-term population trends. There are more than 20 counts taking place across Vermont until early January, including in Woodstock. Sally Laughlin set up the first Christmas bird count there 50 years ago, and she's been organizing it since.
It's traditional for our count to end with a potluck countdown supper, and we've been having a turkey all these years. For 25 years, I made it. So we eat a bird at the end of our count, and then we go over our figures.
Laughlin's retiring after this year. She said volunteers have recorded over 90 species around Woodstock since the count started. Town meeting representatives in Brattleboro last week voted down a new ordinance that was enacted in response to criminal activity in the downtown area. The policy allowed police to issue fines and trespassing warnings for certain behaviors like public intoxication. But Will Cram said the ordinance would do nothing to address the real issues facing the town.
If I'm homeless and I'm addicted to fentanyl or heroin and I'm panhandling outside the co-op, and a police officer comes along and under this ordinance issues me a Class A violation with a $200 fine, what's the point of that? I can't pay a fine.
The select board passed the ordinance after hundreds of people, including downtown shop owners, said drug activity and property crimes were hurting downtown. But the ordinance was rejected by a wide margin last week. Burlington Mayor Emma Mulvaney-Stanek last week announced a new interim director for the city's Office of Racial Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging. Christian Berry served as the Communications and Community Engagement Manager for the office for over a year before taking over the interim leadership role ahead of Thanksgiving. The mayor's office is planning to post the permanent director job in the coming months. 7 Days reports the role and several other positions in the Racial Equity Office were left vacant by city leaders in an effort to address a budget shortfall after Berry's predecessor resigned in May. The Racial Equity Office has struggled with turnover since being created in 2020. And the number of Vermonters traveling via passenger rail is on the rise. Jason Abrams, a spokesperson for Amtrak, says ridership on the company's Vermonter route jumped about 12% last year. Abrams says roomier seats and access to Wi-Fi have made rail more competitive with cars and planes. He says trains are also attractive to people who are mindful of their carbon footprint.
If you care about the environment, if sustainability is top of mind for you, you're going to take the train as opposed to driving or flying.
The surge in train use in Vermont aligns with national trends. Abrams says Amtrak hit an all-time record for ridership last year. Coming up, the return of a recurring series called What Class Are You?, where reporter Erica Heilman talks to Vermonters with various backgrounds about money, class, and privilege. That's after this.
The Frequency is sponsored by the Autosaver Group's year-end sales event going on now at all 15 dealerships in Vermont and Western New Hampshire. Savings on their entire lineup, from trucks, SUVs, and EVs to fuel-efficient cars and family-friendly models. Inventory from all stores at autosavergroup.com. And Gills Point S Tire and Auto Service, offering tire and brake service, oil changes, and state inspections. Online at gillspointstire.com.
Damian Renzello is the owner and inventor of Portarinks, a portable ice rink kit, and he's the inventor of the Bambini, a mini ice resurfacing machine. Bottom line, Damian is who you call if you want your own personal hockey rink and everything that goes with it. He's a one-man shop. In his latest episode of our recurring series, What Class Are You?, reporter Erica Heilman sat with him at the Bambini headquarters behind his house, and they talked about class.
My mom came up with an idea about a portable kit for a skating rink. I thought it was a great idea, so I immediately went to work on it, and I immediately designed and created Portarinks.
Just for people to understand, we're sitting in the back of the Bambini shop, and there's every single inch of the walls is covered in posters and pictures and What the hell is that red thing up there?
These are all my inventions. These are all my products. These are all... This is my whole Boston Bruins area. My American flag stuff.
Jesus?
I love Jesus, yeah.
And then next door to Jesus is a very fancy-looking bottle of scotch.
Yeah, but it's not. I had a toothache, and I heard somebody said that if you rinse it with whiskey.
All right, so who's making your equipment? Who's making your...
I do. I manufacture everything here.
But you would rather be employing people.
I would much rather employ 200 people and pay them solid money and have a warehouse manufacturing products. But I don't know how to borrow money. I don't know how to raise money. I'm not a grant writer. I'm not very good with my grammar and all that different stuff. I'm not college educated. I'm not educated, period. So to fill out a loan application, that's not my school. It's not my school.
So it takes money to make money.
It takes money to make money. That's right. And if you got no money, then you just got to keep climbing.
But you have an incredibly successful business.
Amazing. What I have here is what I've built over the past 27 years, but it's not much. I mean, it's a lot compared to a little, but for many years after my skating season, all summer long, I do roofing, carpentry, electrical, cement work, concrete work, you name it, construction-wise, blue-collar-wise, and that's what I would do.
You just say blue-collar. What is blue-collar? What is not blue-collar?
White-collar.
What's the difference?
Working at an insurance company or working at a construction site.
Means
a white-collar is clean. A blue-collar is dirty. If I had a white hoodie, this hoodie would be black. I think white-collar makes more money. They work in an indoor environment, office scenario, insurance companies, office building.
Do they know more than people who are blue-collar?
When it comes to insurance issues, yeah. When it comes to fixing a house, no. When it comes to changing a flat tire, no. You know, a white-collar, they're going to call AAA.
You don't think you want to fix your tire anymore if you're white-collar?
If I didn't have to pull the engine out of my Suburban and rebuild it and learn how to rebuild YouTube University, if I didn't have to, I would have paid somebody to do it. But if you talk to some insurance guy and ask him to come help wire your house, he would be clueless. And that person being clueless is the way I feel on the other side of the spectrum of people that come from an education. When they ask me something about what's general, I don't get it. I'm not from that school. But the American dream is not to be low class. It's to have money. So a lot of kids grow up with a mom and dad. They go through high school. They graduate. Then they pick up what college they're going to go to. When they're in that process, they're in a white-collar process. They want to be lawyers. They want to be doctors. They want to be insurance people. They want to be white-collar people.
Okay, so let's compare. We're both 54. We're exactly the same age. Mm-hmm. You were in Vermont. I was in Vermont. So what were you thinking about when you were 17? What were you...
I was thinking about Sheila, Susie, Julie.
So my dad was a doctor.
Oh. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny?
And I did not imagine that I could be a doctor. That was not something I thought would be possible for me. But I did think I was going to go to college. I felt pretty safe.
Yeah.
So, okay, I felt comfortable. So tell me about, you know, you.
My dad left before I was born. My dad was not a part of my life at all. I grew up in a poor family. I think I was brought up to survive. I went to Barry Spalding for one day, just to try it out. And I decided that it's not for me. So then... My next step was I figured the military. So I went into the military. You know, my set plans were no set plans.
So I'm off at college, and I'm taking tap dancing. I'm in tap dancing class, and you're in the military. Okay, so where do we go from here comparing our experiences?
Well, it's very hard to compare apples and bananas. There's just no comparison.
Right, so what do we...
An apple, banana's banana.
Right, so we're...
They're both fruits, we're both people, but they're totally different points.
you know, maybe we've been different fruits from the very beginning, given our different circumstance. I mean, so even before you're in the military and I'm in tap dancing class. So when did we part ways? Where were we when we became different fruits? How old were we?
I think it was when we were born. I think it's when we were born, where we were born from, where we came from. You know, I was born in, you know, 1969, as you were. I was born with no father. You were born with a father.
Okay, but we're still...
You were born an apple, and I was born a banana. We'll never be the same. We'll never be apples and apples. You know what I mean?
Right.
We can socialize and hang out and be on friendly terms, but as far as you being on my page and me being on your page, that's an impossibility. That can't happen. That just can't happen.
This is Erica Heilman with Vermont Public.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Lexi Krupp, Howard Weiss-Tisman, Nathaniel Wilson, and Peter Hirschfeld. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Karen Anderson. Talk to you later.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.